Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we look toward the conclusion of the drama that was occurring in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. And this was the story of an unnamed prophet who came to King Jeroboam and pronounced judgment against the king. And he was obedient to what God specifically had said. He would refuse the king's hospitality. But there was an old prophet who heard from his sons what had gone on. And so he chases after the prophet and he said, "The Lord says, an angel of the Lord told me that you are to come home with me and let's have a meal together." And so, to his discredit, this man of God went with him. Now, who is this old prophet? Why did he deceive the man of God? Well, the reason for deceit is not clear from Scripture, but we can maybe surmise some things. He could have been the occult prophet connected with the Bethel shrine. He was old, which means that is, he knew and was familiar with the established worship of Yahweh in Judah at Jerusalem. So we see him used of God. He knew Jehovah and moved in the gift of valid prophetic inspiration. And as I shared yesterday, we could compare him with Balaam, who had true prophetic gifts. There was no question of that. But he had a worldly and carnal character. He was capable of subterfuge and deceit and guilty of worldly self-promotion. If he could get the man of God to stay with him, even by deceit, well, then he could announce his doom. And of course, that would curry favor with the new king, Jeroboam. So only God knows the motives, but whatever the reason or purpose is, he spoke a true prophetic word and sent the man of God on his way. And so what we're going to see here is the tragedy of God's servants giving into temptation and self-deception. We've seen that over the decades, some of the things that have happened to leadership in the body of Christ. But the man of God at first refused his invitation. But being tired and hungry, perhaps, you know, he could have even been upset at the gifts that Jeroboam had offered, but he had denied. And so the devil took advantage of his physical weakness. So what we see is that he was finally persuaded to turn aside from the specific revealed will of God and obey the word of a man. What did God say? Don't eat any bread, don't drink any water, go back a different way after you've accomplished your mission. His temptation was surely great, but he had a revelation of God, and his way was perfectly clear. There wasn't anything ambiguous in God's commands. So what a fatal error to be false to God's divine command and be turned aside by the private interpretation of man, the old prophet. Oh, an angel appeared unto me. No matter how good it seemed, it was a fatal error. And we cannot help but wonder that the man of God must have been conscious that his conduct, he was so clear, his conduct, the things he decided to do, was contradicting the deeper conviction of his soul. Now, can we relate to that? Are there times you've gone off and done something, and just because you wanted to do it, circumstances called for it, whatever it was, you went ahead and did something, or you said something that way down deep inside, you had a check that you shouldn't do it? That's the deeper conviction of the soul. But What does John say in the New Testament? If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So he just gave in to temptation. That's the simple fact of the matter. This unnamed prophet disobeyed God, and he thought, well, you know, I'm tired. I did what I did, delivered the word of the Lord, and maybe God won't mind. Well, okay. Well, in John, let me share a New Testament scripture, 4:1. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. And in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse 16, it speaks of prophets who would make you vain by ministering to the lusts of the flesh. Jeremiah said they speak a vision of their own heart. There is one mark by which we may know them, and that is lightness. That's Jeremiah 23:32. And these false prophets, if you will, have little reverence for the word of God. And the word of God says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. All right, let's now return to our text found in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. Basically, verse 23 said, after the unnamed prophet had eaten with the old prophet saddled for him the ass and allowed him to go on his way. And in verse 24, when he was gone, the unnamed prophet, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. This man's disobedience cost him his life. What did the old prophet prophesy? He said, you're not going to be buried with your forefathers. Well, that's exactly the case. He didn't get far after his disobedience. And this should be a reminder to us, beloved, that life is full of temptation, even, and perhaps I should say, especially for the servants of God. So let's go on to read verse 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, he knew he had spoken the word of God. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And then, verse 27, and he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went his way, this is the old prophet, and found the unnamed prophet, found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And it's very interesting to note, this also was a sign and a wonder. It notes God's control over the lion. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? The lion is called the king of the beasts. They're very fearful. They're very violent. They can go some days without eating, but beloved, if they have a chance to eat, they're very swift and forceful in their actions. But they're never permitted to destroy God's faithful and obedient servants. And we have an example not only in Daniel, as I mentioned, when he was put overnight in the lion's den, but remember David. He said God had delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. We don't have the specific incidences, but we know when he was a shepherd out there as a young man, a boy, he was a strong warrior and took care of any lion or any bear. So we see a miraculous display of God's power. God can sometimes use you know, brute beasts even as instruments of judgment upon the disobedient. And even though God punished this unnamed prophet, he punished his disobedience very quickly, we do see a miraculous display of God's power. In verse 28, as I shared, the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. Let me read now verses 29 to 33. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. He laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, "When I'm dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the word which he had cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel." You see, now this old prophet is referencing the prophetic word that was spoken to Jeroboam in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. And after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would to be consecrated, and he would become one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from the face of the earth. Well, we see that there was a double penalty for disobedience. It resulted in the death of the man of God. It discredited his testimony and apparently would seem to invalidate his prophetic warnings. But it was fulfilled. What he spoke was fulfilled 300 years later by the prophet Josiah. Well, this has been quite an intrigue, quite an adventure through Scripture, but should illustrate to us, even though we are under grace today, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May we walk in the obedience to God's word. May we be faithful to Him, that we can enjoy the blessings of God. I love you, beloved. I'll continue to pray for you, my partners, my radio family. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.